Well, that's where the answers are. Would you open them with me to the book of Luke? Luke chapter number 15. Luke chapter number 15. It is very, very, very nice to be here. The past several weeks we've been in Phoenix, Arizona. And it is hot there. And last night I had to turn on my heat. And so it is nice. And then I hear it's even cooler and up at the camp. So we're looking forward to see what the Lord has for us this week. And I'm excited, asking for the Lord to meet with us this morning. Luke chapter number 15, trust you there. And I'm going to invite you, if you're physically able, if you'd stand with me as you read out of respect for reading the Word of God. Luke chapter number 15, we'll begin reading in the very first part of the chapter. Would you follow along with me as I read? Luke chapter 15, verse number 1. Then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. And the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. And he spake this parable unto them, saying, skip down to verse number 11. And he said, A certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to the father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in the land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat. And no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, How many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And his son said unto his father, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, Bring forth the best robe and put it on him. And put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet. And I love this. And bring hither the fatted calf and kill it. And let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. This morning I'd like to preach to you a message that I've entitled, Looking for a Father. My Father, I thank you for your love for us. And I thank you this morning for the privilege to open the Word of God. Now you know that if I get up here and speak this morning without your power, I will waste people's time. But I'm asking that you meet with us. Holy Spirit, would you empty me of me? Would you fill me with you? And would you work in every heart in this building? I do not know the needs, but you do, and you're able. And I'm claiming the power of the Word of God that it will work in every heart. Now may we be sensitive and tender and respond to its working. I ask that you do your work. Hide me behind the cross of my Jesus. So that when these dear people leave this place this morning, may they not remember me, but the God that I serve. And I ask this the only way I know how, through the name and through the blood of my Jesus. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. I understand today is Father's Day, but I also understand that this day may be one of the hardest holidays for most people. Very few in our country today can look at their own father as an example of Jesus Christ. For when you go back to the scriptures, you find that the Father is explained and then also still is a perfect one to follow, to depend in, to trust in, and to see Him in a very personal way meet your needs. Unfortunately, there are only a few of us that can look at our fathers as examples of the Heavenly Father. For understand, when you go to the book of Ephesians chapter 4, the Father ought to be a picture of the Heavenly Father. Unfortunately, many of us who are dads may not be good fathers. For a dad is what you are called when your children are born. But a father must provide, he must be present, he must love unconditionally, and the greatest example of that is found in the Word of God. Of a heavenly Father, not that is standing over you with a baseball bat ready to whop you upside the head when you mess up, but He wants to meet your needs. He wants to be present. He wants to love. And this morning, whether you had the Bible example of a father based on the Word of God or not, I can tell you from the Word of God that God wants to be your father. And He will be the perfect father. For years, I have read Luke chapter number 15. And I have preached on the prodigal son. And although that is a good part of Luke 15, that is not the point of the story of the prodigal son. For the story of the prodigal son is not majoring on the failures of a son, but points out the unconditional love of a father. So I ask you this morning, are you looking for a father? You see, friend, you need a father. Yes, you need a God. But God offers something special to you and me in that He wants to be your father. All throughout the Bible, and even many times in Jesus talking to the Pharisees, you will find that they often refer to their father as being named Abraham. But when Jesus speaks to His people, He refers to His father being all that they need. For an earthly father by the name of Abraham failed miserably. But a heavenly father will never fail you, friend. When you go to Luke 15, you find the story, yes, of a prodigal son. Yes, of a man who takes his living from, or his inheritance from his father. And then you find further in the passage that he goes into the world to sow his wild oats, some have called it, but to live a life of his choosing. A life that it seems like it does not in any way come with the blessing or the approval of a father. But even though you find the prodigals running, you will always find that the son will continue to belong to the father. You can never lose that. Notice what the Bible says when you go down to verse number 11. And he said a certain man had two sons. It does not explain that his life and how he lived made him a son, for he was already a son. I have met people that think that the way that they live or that their lifestyle choices would hinder them from ever becoming a child of God. Know very clearly from the world that the world, apart from the Christmas song so often sung, we are not all God's children. We are all God's creation. But you become a child of God when you are adopted into the family of God. You find that explained more in Romans chapter 8, where he says that we, by adoption, can now cry, Abba, Father. Have you been adopted? Friend, understand this. The greatest example of what happens when you trust Jesus as your only way to heaven, the greatest example on earth that I can even begin to understand, is what happens at adoption. My brother and sister-in-law are unable to have children. And for years they have prayed and asked God to give them children. And in God's perfect will, he has seen that that was not his plan. So they began to ask God to open doors. And they got a call that there was a baby at the hospital who needed to be fostered. The mother had left the baby there at the hospital and walked out the door. When they got there, they found the baby in the little bassinet type on wheels pushed up in the corner, and not even the nurses were paying attention to this little baby, now 14 days old. When my brother and sister-in-law walked in there, they chose to love this child. And when they began to love what was not of their blood, they took this baby home, and I'll never forget watching, I don't even remember where I was in the country, but we watched via live stream 2 years later as they stand before the judge, and as the judge holds little Elijah David in his arms, and then the judge declares him owned, declares him part of the inheritance, the family of my little brother. And I watched as two-year-old little Elijah picked up the gavel and struck it on the table. Friend, what an example, what a picture of what happens at adoption. Friend, when you trust Jesus as your only way to heaven, you are adopted into the family of God. When you trust him as your only way, understanding you're a sinner, you can't get to heaven by yourself. No matter how hard you work, you will still fall short. No matter whether your grandparents or your parents or the church that you're in, that has nothing to do with heaven. For understand, religion will send more people to hell than anything else. For friend, I have not a religion. I have a relationship with the Father because I've been adopted into the family of God. Friend, when you're adopted, you can never lose that inheritance. Friend, when you trust Jesus as your only way to heaven, not by how you live, not by a prayer that you pray, for your prayer is a work, but your dependence on Jesus and Jesus alone, Jesus says you're a child of God. He says you're adopted. And now you come to Luke chapter 15, an incredible example, not just of the life we often choose to go back to, but of the love of the Heavenly Father. And in that love, I will always belong. No matter how you live, you're still a child of God. For if Jesus died one time, and that was enough for a holy God, then you trusting Jesus one time is enough for a holy God too. He says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. He says he's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And you go back in this passage, and yes, you meet a son who walks away from the father. Yes, you meet a son who goes into the world to live any way he wants to. And yes, he makes some terrible choices. But he still belongs to the Father. Maybe this morning you're looking at your past or you're looking at your present, but know this very clearly: when you trust in Jesus as your only way to heaven, you can never lose being a child of God. Never. You say, well, I've messed up. I've blown it. I understand, friend. But Jesus is powerful enough to keep you forever. You go into this passage, this young man doesn't lose being a son. You read here in verse number 11, he has two sons. But even after his running, notice what the son says when he's in the pig pen. You go down and notice what he says in verse number 15. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country. And he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat. And no man gave unto him. And then notice what he says. He says, and when he came to himself, in other words, when all of a sudden he begins to open his eyes and his heart and he realized how far he's gone, notice what he says in verse 17. How many hired servants of my father's? He does not say of the man who I got money from. He does not say the one who used to love me. Even the son sitting in the pig pen knows he still belongs to the Father, even though he's not where he should be. Friend, when you choose to be a child of the Father by trusting Jesus as your only way to heaven, now you belong. But then, even further than that, know you will always be loved. Sometimes we have the idea. I really think it has begun because the definition of love in our minds has really turned to the word lusts. We want what we want, and we're going to get it any way we want to. That's not the Bible word love. The Bible word love includes sacrifice. The Bible word love includes selflessness. The Bible word love is always unconditional. And friend, I know people, I have friends that I blow it sometimes because I'm human, and I realize how unlovable I am. And they realize it too. And you know how it is. You make a bad choice. You blow it. And all of a sudden somebody says, I don't want to be your friend anymore. The childish playground type mentality. But understand this. When you and I choose sin over obedience to the Father, number one, you will never lose belonging to the Father. And number two, you will always be loved by the Father. For when you go to the Word of God, you do not find that God just chooses to love you. You find that God's love is not so much what He does as it is of who he is. For it is not so much his actions, because understand, sometimes God's allowing difficult circumstances into our lives, we can easily question God's love. However, It never changes that the character of God is still love. For in the book of 1 John, he doesn't say God loves. He says God is love. Notice what happens here in the pig pen. You will find in verse number 13. Not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country. And there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all of what? All that he had? Well, maybe, but more, all that the father had given to him. He wasted his father's money and his substance. But go down further and notice what it says in verse number 17. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, verse number 19, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thine hired servants. He said, what's the point? It's interesting to me that this young man knows beyond the shadow of a doubt that his father will still love him, even though he doesn't deserve to be a son in his mind. He knows that if he goes back to his father will love him enough that he will at least care for him as he cares for his servants. And you and I think often that Christ's love for us is based on what we do or do not do. Friend, I used to preach and think that the harder I preach and the more places that I preach and the more passionate I was in my preaching and the more time I spent on my knees and the more time I prepared, then maybe God would love me more. No, friend. God loves you the same now as when Jesus died on the cross. He loves you the same now as before the foundation of the world. He loves you the same now, no matter what you did last night or what you will do this week. Understand that God's love for you will never change. Friend, if that doesn't bless your blesser, your blesser's broken. For understand this. The greatest picture of love is the father's love for a son. When the young man runs away, the father says, you still belong to me. When the young man reaps his consequences, the father says, yes, but I still love you. Notice he doesn't bail him out of his consequences. Be careful of that, parents. Also understand you will always reap the consequences of your sin. Always. When you go further in the New Testament, in the book of Galatians, you find the Bible is very clear that you will reap what you sow. You say, I don't like what I'm reaping. Then maybe you should start sowing something different. But understand, you are still loved. He rose back to the Father knowing that the Father will still love him. Even as a hired servant, his love will still somehow, some way extend to me. But I want you to say something. This is incredible. Go down, if you will, further into Luke 15. Notice what it says in verse number 20. And he arose and came to his father. By the way, he didn't just sit there and say, oh man, I have blown it. I messed up. Woe is me. Understand this, the part of getting right with the Father is understanding your sin, realizing the consequences of your sin, and then getting up and running back to the Father. A lot of people will stay in the pit. They'll stay in the mire. Don't do that because he's waiting. Notice what it says in verse number 20. And he arose and came to his father, but when he was yet a great way off, I love this. His father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight and am no more worthy to be called thy son. You know, it's interesting. He didn't even get to the part, just make me a servant. He didn't even get there. His speech, how many times do you think he rehearsed his speech on the road back home? And he gets back and he gets cut off mid-sentence. And notice what the Father says. He says in verse number 22, but the Father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring hither, I love this, watch this, the fatted calf. Friend, that does not mean go get a fat calf. That does not mean, oh, you know what? I think there's one out there that we've been feeding really well. I think there's one out there that might do for the barbecue tonight. No, friend. The fatted calf. When you go back to the sentence structure, understand, it was made fat for this purpose. I wonder if the day the young man ran into the world, I wonder if the dad said, see that calf, put it to pasture and give it the best, because I'm going to be waiting for him. And when he comes back, when he receives the chastening, when he receives the reaping, the consequences, that will be my love. And he will return and I will embrace him and I'll be waiting. Friend, understand this. God loves you so much. And the Father gives us amazing picture that God's love still extends, but God's blessing is still offered to the vilest of sinners. I get weary of being in churches. I'm almost done. I get weary of being in churches and meeting good Christians who always want to talk about everything they've done for Christ. Excuse me. Who cares what you've done for Jesus? What's Jesus done for you? Understand this. What you do for Jesus, if you have to tell people what you've done for Jesus, that's your reward. You'll get none in heaven. But friend, if you just look at it as what Jesus has done for you, he will work in you and through you in greater ways than you can ever imagine. And maybe you're sitting here this morning and you say, listen, I have nothing. Friend, if you trusted Jesus as your only way to heaven, you have access to the throne room of heaven. And beyond that, you have access to everything you need in Jesus. Years ago, I was struck by this point. I don't have to tell people my needs. I don't have to, because my Father is bigger and more able to meet my needs than any human ever can. Now, as many times does God use God's people to meet my needs? Yes, friend, but I have seen God do that, not me forcing that. Simple example. Yesterday morning, my 5-year-old named JJ, she was just talking. JJ is no drama. JJ has an arsenal in her room of Nerf guns and darts. She's 5. She's a girl. She's just talking. My girls call me Daddy Man, and she came up to me and she said, Daddy Man, you know, it's been a while since we've had marshmallow fluff. Marshmallow fluff? You know, simple things to kids mean a lot. She says, it's been a while since we've had a marshmallow fluff. She said, I really like marshmallow fluff. It's so soft and tasty, and it goes good with peanut butter. I said, that's good. That was the end of the conversation. Done. Over. Yesterday, we had to go to Walmart. Guess what I got? For $1.94, you can buy a can of marshmallow fluff. You should have seen her eyes when I pulled that off of the top shelf. Interesting, they put it on the top shelf. 5-year-old. Why? Because I'm a father. And God says, how much more to your Father in heaven? Get this, friend. I don't know what kind of example of a father you have. I have no idea. And I understand that some of us have an awful example of a father. Some of us, we, in essence, we have no father. Some of us, we look back and we have no good memories of a father. But I can tell you this, in your running, you still belong. Know this, that in your reaping, you are still beloved. And in your repenting, you can be blessed. So I ask you, who will you cry out to? If you don't have this father, friend, you can walk away today with a father. His name is Jesus. He is free. And all you must do is depend on Jesus as your only way to heaven. This is not about joining a church. This is not about putting money in the plate. This is not about getting baptized. By the way, if you don't trust Jesus and you got baptized, you just got wet. You didn't get baptized. Baptism does nothing for heaven. Jesus does everything necessary for heaven. So I ask you, are you a child of God? If you aren't, trust Him today. And if you are, then claim the blessings of being a son or a daughter of a good father who you belong to and always will, who says you are beloved no matter how you live and what you do, he still loves you. And know that he offers all the blessings of life you need. Let's look for the real father today. And if you are an earthly dad, let's give our kids and grandkids and church kids a good example of a heavenly father by the way that we choose to live like Christ. My Father, I've done what you've asked me to do this morning. And I ask now that you would help us. Would you help us to look for the Father of heaven who loves no matter what, and who offers adoption even when we are undeserving. Heads bowed and eyes closed. May I ask you this? I wonder how many say, Brother Glenn,